A Selman or anything that looks like me or on social media, it is not me. I know that you love me all over the world, and I'm grateful for your love. I'm indebted to you, but it's unfortunate that there are a group of people. It has gotten to my table time and again that there have been several people parading all over the internet as Joshua Selman and coming up with all kinds of charitable projects, taking advantage of the love, the support and the loyalty that people have for me, and extracting money from people. And it's terrible to know that people can do these kinds of things. And I'm saying it especially to our international community. There are a number of sites, I don't know if the media would project them, but that is not me. Personally, I'm not on social media. You find any Apostle Joshua Selman or anything that looks like me on social media, it is not me. These are scammers. They may project my message, they may do a lot of things, but anybody, let me say this, you are always free to share my content. It's been my joy, and there are several platforms on YouTube, Instagram, and all over that. Just I know that there are different fan pages on social media that just celebrate what God is doing in man, become support systems for us to take this message. I love you, those people. You have my endorsement and my blessings. But anybody, please listen, let this be a disclaimer. Anyone who would ask you to send money, to give them money for any charitable project, please know that you are dealing with a fraudster. You can feel free to report them to the various authorities that govern the social media platforms, and you can also do well to communicate our protocol department, our media department, our public relations department. The lines will also be on the screen for you to see. Please make sure you have these details. Have our protocol lines, our public relations lines. They respond to everything that has to do with correspondences, the media, for all your media concerns. This is so that you can have the authorized channels. We make ourselves as accessible as possible. For everything that has to do with the ministry, we have able-bodied, trained people who love you passionately, who will be able to communicate. And for all your givings, you can also contact our finance department. Absolutely lovely people. Please listen, because I know that many of you desire to probably sow into my life, sow into the ministry. There are designated details that the finance department can give to you. Please, anyone parading, I would repeat again, as Joshua Selman, I do not have any charity project. I'm a philanthropist, you know that. I give with all my heart, but I do not have any orphanage home that I'm not even on social media, and I think it's insulting to you. I honor you too much to go on social media and ask you for money for prayer. Please listen, I want to say this. You know that I'm a man of integrity, and this also, let me use the opportunity to say it on behalf of any man and woman of God that is a person of integrity. When you listen to a man's message, it gives you an idea of their convictions, what they can do and what they cannot do. I will never go. By God's grace, God has blessed me with several people who continue to bless and support what we represent all over the world, and I am profoundly grateful for their partnership. Please, if you want to partner with the ministry, you want to bless me, there are designated channels. I am grateful, but so that your seeds don't enter wrong hands and have people take advantage of you. Millions of naira, thousands of dollars have been extracted by several people in the name of all kinds of things. There are even people who have supposedly written publications as Joshua Selman. It's unfortunate. It's come to my notice also that people have written books purporting to be Joshua Selman. When a book is out, we have that influence and we'll let people know. By God's grace, we have lots of things out. I know that God has granted me a measure of influence and I'm grateful for it. And many people can leverage on it for their own advantage, provided you do not hurt people, provided you do not scam people. It's a terrible thing. And I will assure you that we will continue to look out for these people and make sure that the social media, as far as this ministry is concerned, is safe for your participation. So please do well, connect with us on our all our platforms for updates, and then do well to spread the teachings. The teachings are free. Let them go all over the world. And then just let everybody know that I am grateful. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for everything.
I ask, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless our hearts.
Amen.
We declare that tonight Jesus will be glorified.
Amen.
Father, whilst your word comes, I pray that you will heal every sick body in this place.
Amen.
I pray that you will deliver every oppressed in this place.
Amen.
I pray that our lives will be thoroughly transformed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, Lord, we decree and declare that our hearts are opened, open to learn, open to receive. And we declare that in all of this, you remain glorified in our lives. You remain glorified in this city, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to bring the Word of God. I want to appreciate the entire leadership of this great commission. I also want to honor the bishops here present and all the servants of God. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I want to share a few things tonight. I'm just trusting to walk with time. And my heart is burdened because there's a lot that the Lord would have me share. And I just trust that God will grant grace. I believe that conferences like these are moments of transformation. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Then it says, we all with faces unveiled, beholding him as in a mirror. He says, we are changed from one level of glory even to the other. Hallelujah. It matters that we understand the Word of God. It matters that we understand the principles of the kingdom. Because our dominion and our walking in victory depend on one, our knowledge of God, and number two, a thorough understanding of his ways. The victory of the believer, please just reduce or just let it be. If you can't find anything, please let's minimize distraction. So I believe that the Lord is going to grant us grace and help us to understand Scripture. It is important that we study Scripture because the Bible represents the boundary of God's commitment to man. God is not committed to man outside of the provisions allocated and allowed by Scripture. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, the Bible says, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so the knowledge of the Scripture exposes us to God's methodologies. We're able to understand his way of doing things. And when we sustain the grace to engage accordingly, then our lives become a reflection of what he has said. Many years ago, I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw a great door. It was a very big door. God was opening me up to a thorough understanding of the value of the Word of God. I saw an ancient door. And the Spirit of the Lord took me close to that door. And then I found out that that door was made up of other smaller doors. And I noticed in that vision the doors were opening and closing, opening and closing. And each time the door opened, light will come out of it. And then it will close. Open again and light would come out of it. And I noticed on every door a scripture was written. And then the Holy Spirit began to let me know that those doors represented revelations and different dimensions of God. Remember, Jesus said, I am the door. And so every dimension of spiritual reality that you lay hold of, the light that comes is the grace that empowers you to walk in the reality of that scripture. That means whatever you propose to know, if you do not have the grace to demonstrate its validity, it is not yet life to you. It says they are life not to those that seek them, those that find them. Are we blessed? Praise the Lord. All over the world, believers seek to walk in victory. When you ask the average believer, he will tell you that he wants a consolation to his Christian experience. And while it is true that we do not serve the Lord and we do not seek him because of things, in God's economy, he is so designed that somewhere along the line, as you walk with him, you get to a point where your life begins to bear fruit. Are we together? John 15 and verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, when ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So he desires that somewhere in our Christian experience, we begin to produce results that become an evidence to unbelievers that we are serving a living God, as well as become consolations to us. But then results in this kingdom of all sorts, they do not just come because we desire them. They come when we have access to the requisite level of spiritual illumination. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, the Bible says. He lamented and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you have known even in this your day the things that pertain unto your peace. He says, but now they are hid from you. So there are things that pertain unto our peace. There are things that pertain unto our growth. There are things that pertain unto our efficiency. And I'm trusting that God is going to grant grace as we explore a few keys along the theme of this conference. I read carefully through the letter that was written and given to me from the ministry, and I could discern the passion of this church for revival, for the move of God, to see that the purposes of God are birthed in a territory like this. And by the grace of God and with all humility, I am a student of revival. I have studied the moves of God across almost every continent. I've had the honor and the privilege of meeting a few of these people, and I've heard firsthand from them what God did in their days. Because it is a desire that we become a continuation. Are we together now? A continuation, so that it will no longer be fables that we were told, but we will be able to prove the validity of God to a generation. Otherwise, there will come another generation that knew not Pharaoh, and they will now begin to detest the things that we cherish and hold as sacred. There must be a dimension of spiritual reality that must be preserved. Otherwise, a whole generation will come and detest God. God will become like a historic material. We will just know that once upon a time, there were people in Enugu who were passionate about God. Once, you see, let me tell you this. The way the devil destroys a generation is not to cause a catastrophe in one day or one year. The way the devil destroys a generation is to study its system of continuity. Please understand this. When the devil finds out that the fathers are so covenanted to God, they will not backslide. He will give up on the fathers. But he will make sure the bridge that translates that knowledge and that passion from the fathers to the children is caught. Respectfully speaking, this is what has destroyed the West, the American nations and all of that. Their grandmothers and their grandfathers, those we call God's generals, while they were there in the field doing the things they were doing, the devil distracted them with the here and now, and they did not think of a system of continuity. Are we together? So Satan gave up on the parents and went to grow with the children. Now the children are the presidents, they are the governors, and they are very vocal and unashamed about their desire for the absence of God in their community. It is not enough that we know God. We must study the system allocated for the transference of these things. In ancient times, you would see that the Lord would instruct the fathers. He said, write it on tablets. When your children ask you, why are you doing this? Tell them, once upon a time, something happened like this. Hallelujah. In every generation, God seems to find a few people. Now, I don't know why it is a few people, but I may be able to attempt tonight why it seems like only very few people are able to qualify to host certain superior dimensions of the grace, the power, the glory, the wisdom of God within the context of a generation. So it looks like you have people just being average in their walk with God, churchgoers here and there, loving God, serving, and then every once in a while you will find men and women who press exceptionally into the things of God. And as a result of that encounter, they come up with anointings and graces and very, very striking dimensions of God. And those individuals become the signposts. They become representations of God's desire within that dispensation. And then when those people leave, usually people go down again, and then they wait, and one day a Kathleen Kuhlman will come up, then one day a Smith Wigglesworth will come up, and then one day so on and so forth. Even in the history of this nation, and I believe the history of this city, when you study from a spiritual standpoint, you will find out that scattered across your history were moments when certain individuals came with fire and power, and they commanded dimensions of revival and fire. There was such an awakening within that territory. And it is my goal in this conference that I will share with us a bit that the Lord has taught me about preserving the fire of revival within a territory. It is possible that men can capture the realities of God and preserve it transgenerationally. It does not have to be lost with the absence of a generation. Are we blessed already?
Yeah.
Now, I am sent to the body of Christ, as you would have observed. I make it a point of duty to not criticize the body of Christ. It is not my culture at all to talk about maybe churches or say anything negative. No, I am sent to the body. And one of the requirements to carry a grace that is for the body is you must love the body. If you love God and hate the body, you are still defaulting. You must love God and love his body. Are we together? And I have found out that, respectfully speaking, one of the reasons why many people are very weak spiritually, why many people do not host certain dimensions of God, among many reasons, there is a theology that has been sold, especially this generation, and the theology is that there is no participation and there is no price required to host God. And it looks like a well-meaning theology. The Bible is a prophetic book. You can make it speak anything you want it to say. So that indoctrination that God can use anybody he wants to use. It doesn't matter who has created a justification for laxity in the body of Christ. So people do not have the passion to press towards the things of God because it looks like there is no profit in pressing into God. Let me tell you this, people of God, not everything in the kingdom is a gift. If everything were a gift, what then is the reward for obedience? Are we together? Deuteronomy 28, when you read from verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and to observe all that I command you this day." Then it begins to list, it says, "Then you shall be exalted above the nations of the earth, and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you." There is always a participatory condition that guarantees certain dimensions of the presence of God. And I think that this understanding needs to be restored to the body of Christ. There is a price for spiritual power. There is a price to host God. There is a price to carry an anointing for a generation. There is a real price. It's a non-negotiable price. It's not a price that can be politicized. It's not a price that can be manipulated by emotions. The price is fixed. You either obtain the grace. What God gives is the grace to pay that price. Listen, remember when the mother of James and John came to meet Jesus to negotiate positions for them? Because the way they saw the invincibility of Jesus and they suspected that one day this man would dethrone Herod and he would become the king of the Jews. And so before that would happen, James and John liaised with their mother to buy a comfortable political position for them. Should in case Jesus dethrone Herod, that they will sit at the left and right. And so the mother comes with this request. "Dear Jesus, would you grant that after you are done with these Roman people, grant that my sons will sit at your left and right?" Jesus never said the space was not vacant. He said, "Here is the condition. Can you drink?" Jesus is talking now, not an angel. "Can you drink of my cup?" Number one. Number two, "Can you be baptized?" Notice that one works within you and one works outside you. Conditions. "Can you drink of my cup?" And then, "Can you be baptized with my baptism?" There is a price for the power of God. You don't just tell somebody from a wheelchair, "Stand up," because you read it in the Bible that they shall lay hands on the sick. Remember that many people taught us that it's costly to experiment like this in the Bible. One time Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples wanted to use the opportunity to cash in on that moment and make a name for themselves. And they did not look for a mild case that was manageable. They got an epileptic patient and then they gathered the people and they prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened. They were embarrassed, their egos were stung, and when Jesus came, they said, "Why couldn't we cast this out?" Remember again the sons of Sceva. They came and gathered someone who was a demoniac, and they said, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches," that's the real Jesus, "you thought you would just show up because his name was called." And the demons replied, "Jesus we know, Paul we know." He says, "Who are you? Where do you stand in the spirit? I do not see the scar that represents your passing through the school of the spirit." And the Bible says those demons beat them and drove them out. Please hear me. You don't just speak and people's lives change, because the Bible said no. We will continue to mock ourselves and propose spiritual things we do not have the grace to defend if we are unwilling to pay a real, solid spiritual price. The centurion comes to Jesus and is making a request over his daughter. And Jesus said, "I respect you. You're a noble man. I will go with you to your house." And the centurion said, "No. I am a man under authority." In other words, I understand government and the implication of authority.
You too, you are a man under authority. I'm under the authority of the government of Rome. And there is a level of power that I have by reason of that authority. I can tell one, go, and he will go. And if he does not go, the authority that backs me will come to address that situation. And Jesus said, I have not found such revelation. Who mentored you? Who taught you this? That our exploits in the kingdom is based on the government we submit to. Where did you find this revelation? There is a lot, and I'm saying this respectfully, there is a lot of talking in the body of Christ. There is a lot of proposition of what God can do. God can heal. God can change your life. And then we keep saying amen, amen. But our frustrations continue to grow. Because it's like the more we are attending church, the more we are getting away from God. There is no consolation to the reality of the power of God. Psalm 63, David began to speak and he said, oh God, thou art my God. He says, early will I seek you. My soul longs for you. My heart pants for you as in a dry and weary land. He says, to see your power and your glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Let me tell you this. Our churches and our appeals are under attack. If we do not bring the demonstration of the reality of heaven here and now, a day will come, your child will look at you and say, until the day you prove the reality of Jesus, do not talk to me about church again. The generation of our fathers is a generation of loyalty. Even if they don't believe you, they have a covenant of loyalty. They will pray for you and leave you in your confusion while they believe you. This generation is an arrogant scientific generation. They will not believe without results. The Bible says the Greek look for a sign. This is the reason why our teenagers today have such an obsession for the things, technology and all of this, and they detest God. You mention anything God, they are in church, they are browsing, they absolutely, you are there crying about an encounter you had for years, and they cannot relate to this. The devil is coming as a bridge between yesterday and tomorrow, and if we do not restore the authentic power and the grace of God to our people and the church, we will be surprised. Are we together? I don't mean to bring bad memories. Forgive me if I do. But how many of you had the opportunity to watch warehouses that were burgled during this palliative time? No invitation, no poster. There was something in that building that people passionately desired, and they were not ashamed to leave their houses and climb roofs. What if what is in that house is in your church? Spiritually speaking. Listen, now forgive me. I came to do something to you. We will apologize after the conference. Are we together? The rate at which we beg people to come to church, the rate at which we lavish money on publicity, the rate at which we are on our knees pleading, is a sign that something is not authentic in what we are communicating. Jesus is with a woman by the well, and then he began to speak to her. Discerning he was a prophet, she began to ask him on the subject of worship. And when Jesus responded to this woman, watch this. The Bible says this woman went and called back. Do you know the gospel was designed that if it really impacts you, you cannot be silent? There were people who Jesus begged and said, don't tell anybody. They were too grateful to be quiet. There is something about the reality of this faith life we propose that is not yet true in our lives. Now, this is not an insult. Believers, we are challenging ourselves. If it is true that we desire the spirit of revival in this conference, then we have to be serious. The sick come sick, and we say Jesus can heal, and then we share the grace. And while you're on their way going home, here comes Satan. It's not only Jesus he tempted. He will follow everybody and say, does this look like that revelation of love? The more we read the Bible, the more we do not see him in our churches. I was young and now I am old, we say. I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg for bread. But is that not a lie? How many believers beg for bread every day? We seem to be at the mercy of situations and circumstances. Watch this. A charm is placed on the ground. That charm did not ask me whether I believe in it or not. I marked it on my way going. The charm did not ask whether I have faith or not, and it still affected me. Can you imagine that? I'm giving you an example of the experience of many Christians. A charm is on the ground. The charm did not ask you, do you believe I will hurt you? It didn't care whether you believed or not. And you matched it, and all of a sudden something began to happen to you. Oh God, restore your glory and your power back to the church. There are too many things we propose without the grace requirement to defend them. And the world used to be quiet, but now the world is beginning to ask questions. Oh dear church, they will search for scriptures and say, come and defend it. You told us that God can restore. Here is a woman with 23 years of captivity, and all her life she's been serving the purposes of God. Can you prove to us that God restores? And we stand there quoting scripture and saying all kinds of things, and the onlooker who is looking says, this is your Jesus? There is a question mark. Is God challenging someone tonight? There is no continent that prays like Africa. And yet we are the ones in need of results every day. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Are we together? Financially speaking, there are many, many believers who are in situations, they are givers. They love God, they tithe, they sow, they give, and yet in a shocking way, they never rise to a notable dimension. I'm not talking of just having your needs met. That's not prosperity. You don't need God for that to happen. You just need wisdom. Not even the wisdom of the word. Sophia, the wisdom that comes by studying the laws of nature. I share with you my contemplations, and I share with you what began to lead me to seek for God beyond church, to seek for God beyond religion, to seek for God beyond Bible studies and prayer meetings. I knew something was wrong. The Bible says, Proverbs 18 and verse 1, through desire, a man, having separated himself, he said, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Something is wrong. I won't take too much of your time, but I need to challenge you. When we talk about revival, did you know for the average person, we don't even have an idea of what we're talking about. We just feel, oh, a time when people will just pray for a few minutes and then backslide whenever they feel like doing, and then we just know that in 1995, there was such a move of God. No, sir. And yet we say the path of the just is as a shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Let God be true. Let God be true. Enugu State, let God be true. My experience is too small to validate who God is. If my experience does not capture all the dimensions of God, I cannot create a theology out of my limitation to mean God cannot do it. God will not bend to us. We are the ones who will bend to say, Lord, I take responsibility. There is something about my Christian experience that is not capturing the fullness of you. Are we blessed?
Yes.
I'm a prophet. God called me to be a prophet. Every prophetic word is wrong. It didn't come to pass. Everything you say is wrong. Your name is John. He said, no, my name is not John. But something is wrong. Look, let me tell you this. Listen, I'm not being sarcastic. I want to be sincere with you. It takes humility and brokenness to admit. Don't fake what can be real. Insist and say something is wrong. I may not know what is right, but oh God, come to me. The strength of God does not look for strength. The strength of God looks for weakness. When he finds strength, it will go back until there is a broken and a contrite heart. Having said all this, let me announce to you that revival is real. Having said all this, let me announce to you that God is still in the business of making men and shifting territories and continents. Just because that reality may not be captured in your space personally does not mean God stopped working because of you. You may have stopped pressing into God, but he did not stop moving people. There are people who did not graduate themselves from that school. They said, Lord, I ever remain a student. And God has continued to advance the frontiers of the kingdom through them. And it is my prayer and my desire tonight that God will cultivate a hunger and a passion greater than ministry title, greater than preaching, greater than conferences, a depth of hunger to host and deliver a dimension of kingdom reality that confounds principalities and powers. While you are seated, can you pray 1 minute and say, Lord, plant a dissatisfaction in my heart. Plant a dissatisfaction. I'm tired of Greek and Hebrew words without a grace to demonstrate their validity. Please pray. Please pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. This is 25 years of the faithfulness of God. There has to be a dimension of substance to our Christian experience. Someone is praying. Someone is crying to the God of heaven. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer. I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Pray for 1 minute. Shela parus kada branda kada bala haske de bala. Lord, we desire to see your power and your glory in Enugu State once again. We desire altars to be places of fire. We desire to see sinners saved with forceful power. We desire to see a reign of signs and wonders again. We cannot lose this heritage. There must be a generation that becomes a continuation of this. Please pray. Hallelujah. Listen. Please listen. I went to church and I had my pastors preach from scripture. They said many things about God. They said God is love. I heard them preach scriptures like, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father. I heard them preach messages like he has been made the head of all principalities. But I could not see the substance, the validation of that which was said. While they were preaching, I was watching the sick who sat close to me. I was watching families I knew were in trouble. Where is this God we are talking about? And then we say he's in our midst. Let's worship him. And we finish and sit down. And I said, but when God came in the Bible, I know what happened. I read my Bible. The Bible says the mountains keep like lambs when he comes. And yet he's there and we are browsing, pinging on our phones. Is it the God of heaven? Even angels, when they appeared, the impact was too much for men to ignore them. Something is wrong. Their eyes observe my ways. The first two words is a declaration of an acknowledgement. You are my son. That means on legitimate grounds, you qualify to be a partaker of everything that I have. My son. Not a stranger. My son. Then give me your heart. There are not many times God demands things from men. But every time God does demand a thing from a man, it is because he's preparing him to receive something higher and greater. And he says, my son, you want to be used as a general to the nations. My daughter, my church, my territory. If you want to be mightily used by God, listen to me. The first key is not anointing. The first key is not fasting. The first key is not prayer. The first key is not Bible study. You can do all those things and yet miss it. Because many have tried it and it did not work. The first key to being mightily used by God is the state of your heart. The state of your heart vetoes your prayer life. The state of your heart vetoes your fasting. Every other thing finds its credence from the purity of your heart. Are we together? My son, I desire to use you, but the state of your heart. Do you know why God is always after the heart of men? I will tell you why. Because in his design of man, he created the heart of man to be able to host him and him alone. And in that design, whatever finds its way to your heart is your God. Please observe this. Your God is not what you worship. Your God is whatever finds a place in your heart. It doesn't matter what you worship physically. In the realm of the spirit, they know what you bow to, not by searching a deity. They search your heart. God designed the heart of a man to be the mirror of his allegiance. Whatever can have access to that holy of holies in your heart qualifies to be your God. Are we together? So he created the heart of man to be able to host him and his purposes. So when you sing and when you preach, before heaven takes you seriously, the word of God that is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart will have to vet the purity of your heart. God does not just accept worship because it is melodious. God does not just accept preaching because you are conjuring Greek and Hebrew words, as theologically powerful as they may be. Until God finds your heart contrite, broken, sincere enough, every other thing you are doing is just religion. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart of man, my son, give me your heart. Complete surrender. Please read with me if you can see it, otherwise I'll just read it from here. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Stop. Before you understand this scripture, you have to array the many things that can be deceptive. One of the things that is deceptive is the serpent. Now the serpent was more deceptive than all of the beasts which the Lord had made. There are many other things that are deceptive, but the Bible says no matter how wise a man is, your heart will beat you to your knees. That means even you, the owner of the heart, you can be deceived by it. Your heart can deceive you into believing something that is not true. The heart is deceitful above all things. And the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Oh God, bless me
and you will see what I will do for the kingdom. And God says, I don't need to bless you to see it. I'm already seeing it now. Because you see, in God's realm, I hope you know that God, how do I say this now? God does not live in eternity. No. I hope you know eternity is also a function of time. Eternity just means time without end. It's a summation of infinite dispensations, but it's still subject to time. God's realm is not in time. God's realm is not even in eternity. God's realm is not even heaven. He just put his throne there. Read your Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created. That means he was not there. You can't create what you are inside. In the beginning, where was he? He created the heavens and the earth. That means he was in neither of the places. The realm of God is called light. It's a realm that the Bible says is unapproachable light. Now, please understand this. In that realm, there is no time and there is no distance. In that realm, there is no future and there is no past. Those realities don't exist in that realm. Everything is called now. So your tomorrow is seen already. Are you together now? Now, you see, in this realm, you don't know what I can become tomorrow. I may be broke today, and so my being well behaved may not be a true picture of my heart condition. It's just that the situation has forced me to carry a posture of humility. So men can call you humble until the day, you see, the heart of man hides evil like a DNA. It does not get activated until the conditions, there are sufficient conditions that make certain levels of evil to be activated. If you have never tasted fame, you may not know that you can be derailed. So you can just say, God forbid, I love God with all my heart. Remember, you've never been honored. You've never stood before kings. This is why criticizing people is dangerous. When you hear that someone is not doing well, go back to your own altar and say, God, before I disgrace myself, vet my heart now. Search my heart. Try my thoughts. Let me tell you this. Listen to my message, why revivals die. There is only one reason why revivals die. Not sin, no. The humanity of men is the reason why revivals die. Revivals die because the custodian of that revival is a man. And Satan knows that there is something in a man. Prophet Isaiah began to observe it and he says, hast thou not known, hast thou not seen? He says, the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, neither is he weary. This is a quality that is prevalent with men. Satan knows that no matter how powerful I am, I will be tired one day. He knows that. So when he tries to attack your vision from the beginning and it does not work, he will leave you. You will think you are free. He left Jesus. He waited till they offended him, till Jesus was on his way to the cross. Here he comes again. Satan is any other thing but a fool. He has an advantage of time. The Bible calls him that old serpent. He has lived through dispensation and he has studied man like an experiment. He knows man in and out. So when he sees you as a preacher with your zeal, he knows there is no money in your pocket yet. You've never flown a first class. You don't know what it means to be honored. So you don't even have any ego to be stung. So you think you are humble and Satan waits for you at the corridor of your lifting. He knows there is something with men that both glory and shame produces the same result. It can frustrate you. Are we together? So the day you lead the prayer and mighty things begin to happen. Do you know Alexander Dowe? The first time they called him Elijah, he rebuked them. He said, no, I can't be Elijah. This humility. But over time, he thought to himself and said, but honestly, come to think of it, who else? Because at that time, there was no internet. You will not even know God is also walking at the other side of your ignorance. God knows men very well. That's why he does not trust what you say till he sees what is in your heart.
Have you not seen men who say, I will stand with you forever. I will build maybe a ministry, or I will be with you in politics. I must vote you. And while they are saying that, quarter to their to when you will need them, they will change. God knows the ever-changing nature of men. So he does not trust anything you say. I hope you know, while you sing, your heart is also singing. While you preach, your heart is also preaching. The sermon of your heart is greater than that of your lips. Or they call you Joshua Selman. It doesn't matter. Death has walked in you so that life will walk through you, even to others. The vulnerability of men cannot allow God to use them the way they are. You come as you are, but you are not sent as you are. You come as you are, then you are made, then you are sent. The making process of a believer is the hardest part of the Christian experience, because not even your tears will stop God. Is God speaking to us? Look, when you see a man in his spiritual training, it's a fearful thing. Others are sleeping in the night and God wakes you and says, for the next 5 hours, you just prepare your swallow and fish and you're about to fold your arms. And the Spirit of God says, for the next 10 days, there is no food that is entering your mouth again. God, what are you doing to me? Can't I enjoy a normal life? It is the call of destiny tracing you. You no longer can live a normal life. A gentleman comes to look at you and say, you are a beautiful lady, and you hear a rebuke from the Holy Ghost. You don't know who is coming from your womb, that's why. And you are saying, Lord, so I can't enjoy my life again. The making of men is hard. That's why when God makes them, whether you talk about them in the secret or in the open, even if you are right, their altar will fight you. Because the making of men is death, the process of death. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Even he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, this is the injunction. Please, are you getting blessed tonight? The state of your heart. Every man you see that is carrying a measure of the grace of God has gone through an experience you may never know. All of the men and women whose names were called here that you see them, if they ask every one of these people, come and hold a mic and share your experience. Tonight we will cry as if it's a funeral here. Many people will tell you the things they gave up. You will never carry glory without dying. The price for all of God is all of you. Not your offering, not your tithe, not your singing. All of you, a non-negotiable condition. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing hearts, is what we've come to do. I cast my crown, I lift my hands, I bow my heart, it's what I've come to do. I cast my crown, lift my hands, bow my heart. Listen, God will not ask you to just give any money. He wants you to give the one you worked for. The one you got free is Ishmael. The one you worked for is Isaac. It's easy to give Ishmael. Abraham drove Ishmael without thinking about it. Let me tell you how God makes mighty men in this kingdom. He does not take Ishmael. Isaac is the price for being Abraham. Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest. Go and offer him upon a mountain. Abraham held Isaac, his future, a representation of his worth, and dragged him to the mountain. Isaac said, Father, what did I do to you? And he said, before you arrived, I was in love with someone, and not even your presence will interrupt that relationship. We will rise, sing your name, Listen, the making of men of power is a dangerous training. Is why God isolates you. Even if you are married, this is not an affair of a couple. When God is dealing with men, there's no corporate thing. That dimension is a lonely part. Your dealing is customized. It's in that place of pain. Your hand begins to shake, and then he trains you that anywhere you see this is the healing anointing. It's not a doctrine. It's a dealing for only you. It's in that place of pain. John remained in the wilderness. There were secrets that were told John to make him a prophet. He was eating locusts and wild honey. That was not the only food in Israel, but that was the prescription that would train him to be able to be the prophet that will ordain Jesus. Listen, when God is making you, the restrictions in your life will, God can give you hurt. God can say for the next 3 years, from 12 to 3, that is the time I have apportioned to meet with you. Don't miss it. And by 11:30, you are tired and it's as if you will die. He wants to teach you how to give up on your own strength and tap into his own. Because the schedule that you will have in ministry will require that knowledge. There is a spiritual architecture he's teaching you. That they that wait upon the Lord, there is a system where weak men can become strong. So when he wakes you, when you are tired, it's not wickedness. It's the training that makes mighty men. So that when you have a busy schedule in the future, they see you standing. From whence cometh this unusual strength? Oh, Samson. And Samson said, it is not my physical might. There is a spirit that can manifest as the spirit of might. Listen. There are dimensions of God you can never learn in church. You will never understand it. It is your experience that will educate you into who God is. A testimony that you will have by yourself. Your training will give God a name that your generation will call. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, they were not generic names. They were an encapsulation of the experiences of men with God. Your assignment is to use your lifetime to give God a name that your children can call. What name is your experience giving God? You only know the God of Abraham, I congratulate you. But when will your experience give him a name that others can call? So there are people who will stand and lift up one song, and his Shekinah will fill that place, because the altar upon which their training was built is alive. There is an altar in the realm of the spirit. There is a covenant that they have with God. There are realms that cannot be imparted. You must dig through your pain and your sacrifice. We live in a generation where we like receiving everything by impartation. No, sir. Apostle, God is calling me to be a kingdom financier. And one day God says, aside from the clothes you are wearing, fold everything in a bag and sew it. You will cast that spirit thinking it's a demon. It will come again. God speaks once, but you don't hear only once. He will make you hear as many times as your unbelief wants. Listen, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. Let me tell you. When you see people who truly carry authentic power and grace, find out the story behind their training. Oh God, you are my God. Early. Timing matters in seeking God, because it takes time to know him. Early will I seek you. My soul longs for you. When I began my experience with God, I was not looking for fame. I was not looking for power. I was just tired. I said, Lord, we cannot serve a God we don't know to a generation. We give a generation a gift to the unknown God. A God we do not know. A God who our proposition about him, we are not sure.
you finish preaching a message, man of God, very boldly, and you go back to your room and secretly say, I hope I understand what I just said. Paul said, but I know whom I believe. I am persuaded. It's the reason why many people cannot die for Jesus, because we're not even sure of what we're living for. Time will fail me to talk of Gideon and Jephthah and Barak, men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, shut the mouth of lions. And the Bible says that they without us would not be complete. Hear me, truly speaking, there is a generation rising. Jesus will not return until there is the manifestation of that power. I have seen it. I have seen it many times in my vision, that Africa, God's firstborn, the stone that has been rejected, the stone that identified with Jesus on his way to the cross. Every continent rejected Jesus except Africa, in a man called Simon of Cyrene. That was Africa carrying the cross for Jesus. And since we partook of his sufferings, we must also partake of his glory. It is the reason why Africa will become the centerpiece of revival. It's not a lie. My son, give me your heart. You have been giving me your offering, but give me your heart. You have been giving me your midweek service, but give me your heart. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 that in the year King Uzziah died, something must die for you to see the Lord. For as long as Uzziah is alive, your eyes cannot see him. In the year that my pride died, I saw the Lord. In the year that my ego died, I saw the Lord. In the year that my ambition died, I saw the Lord. In the year that my passion to make a name for myself died, I saw the Lord. Exalted high above the worship of the people of the earth, the train of his fill the temple. That's what Isaiah saw. A cloud of heavenly worshipers surrounding your throne. And we join with them now, crying, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Let me tell you this. When you want to be used by God, the price is not to give you a message. The price is not to find a PA that follows you. The price is not to find an empty venue where you will do a publicity. No. The price is that he must become your obsession. Lord, I love you more than ministry. I love you more than titles. The Bible says, love not the world, Apostle John began to tell us, neither the things that are in this world. Is the word eros. There is an affinity that this cosmos seeks to derive from men. It wants an attachment. My car, my reputation, my church, my member. That is the language of ownership. In this kingdom, we are only given access, not ownership. Owners are rebels in this kingdom, because whoever owns anything maintains it. The prodigal son had access, but he wanted ownership. The day ownership came, lack came, suffering came, and he came back to himself and said, how many hired servants does my father have? And I am here eating the husk of pigs. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am not worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your servants. And when he took responsibility and began to return, he never met the father at home, because for every step you take towards God, he's also looking for you too. You will meet somewhere in your passion. Today, many people say they see Jesus all the time. I respect their experiences, but their lives does not show it. If it's the Jesus of the Bible you see, I assure you, even after 1 year, you will not be normal. I love, I love. I love your presence. It's not a song. That I love more than ministry. I love your presence. I love, I love you, Jesus. I love, I love your presence. It says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for them that love him. Not them that preach about him, not them that sing about him, not them that conduct service for him, not them that sweep the church for him. Thank God for these things. But brothers and sisters, the non-negotiable condition to carry God is that you must so die that he becomes the epicenter of your self-worth and your relevance. Until he finds himself in you like a mirror looking back to him, you will never host his power. The presence of God is not cheap. No. The price you pay for life is death. And until that price is paid, you will never carry the life that liberates nations. This I learned from the Spirit of God. This I have seen in the life of people that have been used by God. It is a lonely path. Brothers and sisters, it is a painful path. And men of God, respectfully speaking, let me encourage us. When we are teaching people about what God did in our lives, let's not tell lies. Let's tell them the truth of what happened. That it took time to know God. Let's let them know that we fasted. It was not just that we were standing in the afternoon and power came. Let them understand the implication of the grace they so cheaply enjoy. Let them understand that it came with blood and tears. Not to scare them, but to let them know this is how it happens. The birth of anything valuable is painful. Ask every woman here, she will tell you. She can carry the child. Because the woman is pregnant, her appetite will change. A woman who ordinarily eats this will start asking you to give her rice that is smelling smoke. And you are saying, madam, what are you looking for? That's what happens when you are pregnant. When you are carrying something of destiny, you cannot do what everybody is doing. It must alter even your appetites. Am I blessing you? This generation must have archived in books and in their minds. Every territory must preserve not just what God did, but preserve the ordinances that were kept that brought him to a land. Enugu State, let your children and your children's children understand the formula that brings God to a territory. Let them not just know history, that God can come. Let them know that it takes sacrifice and surrender. Let them know that it takes a life of dedication. Total surrender. Non-negotiable surrender. That everything God gives you belongs to him. And he can make a demand of it any day and any time. I cried unto God and I said, Father, if there is anything I cannot give you in my life, take it by yourself. Do you know there are times you cannot give Isaac? Remember, it took long before he came. You only give God the grace to take the Isaac by himself. Are you getting blessed? This is why we do not see the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, I'm seeing angels in this place. The Lord is opening my eyes and I see angels in this place. I'm seeing the number 21 in the spirit and I'm seeing oil being poured on those people right now as I'm speaking. Please bring them out if you can. 21. This is what I'm seeing in the realm of the spirit. 21. The spirit of revival is in this place. Shema na 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 na. I'm seeing the number 21. The Lord is saying you are drinking of ancient fountains. There is an awakening happening in your spirit. For some of you, the dreams that you have been having, there is a quickening. You saw it in the dream. Some of you even saw these meetings in your visions. The spirit of grace is initiating you into an experience that produces power in the spirit. And Jacob wrestled with him all night and said, leave me, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. He said, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, for as a prince you have had power with God and prevailed. And he touched the hollow of his thigh and blessed him. And the Bible says the sun arose and he called that place Peniel, the face of God. When he comes, you will know he has come. Shalom barato sada breketes yata. There is a circumcision that is happening in this place. A cutting away of appetites. It says, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12 and verse 1, that ye offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He calls it your reasonable act of worship. Then he says, to not be conformed to this world. It's the Greek word aeon, the thinking pattern that comes with this system. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good and perfect will of God. Bring them out. You call it a wind of revival, an ignition. God is doing something not only in this church, but even in this city. Hallelujah. Now please watch this. Forgive me, I hope I'm not breaking any protocol. Please forgive me if I do. But in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, I'm seeing fire just rising from this place. And I'm seeing it come on people. Those people will start running out by themselves. Please hold them so they don't injure anybody. I'm seeing a grace. It's a grace that will drive you to the secret place. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. Stand in the ancient parts. Ask for that part. That ancient part. My son, give me your heart. Man of God, give me your ministry. Give me your reputation. This is the price for all of me. This is the price for commanding power in the spirit. Wherever you are in 1 minute, can you just open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit? Lord, I'm ready to hand over everything. Let tonight be a handover service. Hallelujah. Listen. Please listen. Listen. When you take everything that is within your heart and you surrender it on the altar of sacrifice and you tell him everything belongs to you, now you begin to do business with God, because all that you have is his own. It all belongs to you. Oh, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh, the next 5 minutes, please hear me. I'm going to leave you and your maker. I don't know how you are going to cry before God in the next 5 minutes. I leave you alone with God and say, Father, search my heart, try my thoughts. You know the tendencies that are in my heart. Prune my heart, oh God. Take away flesh, take away pride, take away fame, glory from my life. Purify my heart in truth. The next 5 minutes, cry before your maker. Any good faith, are you praying? The cry that brings revival. more minutes. Take everything, oh God. Everything that has taken your place until Jesus is seen and glorified in my life. Take everything, oh God. Minutes, don't be tired of crying. You came here for an awakening. I surrender to you. Everything I give to you. I'm withholding nothing. My soul says yes. Says seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking up to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Lift your voice and say, Father, anything that has taken your place in my life, I dethrone it in this conference. Everything that has taken your place in my life, whether it is relationships, whether it is material things, whether it is ministry, whatever it is, please pray. One more song and we're done for tonight's meeting. I lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm. Help me find a way. Would you bring me back? From the the depths of your heart. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof, the worlds and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the waters and established it upon the seas. And then the Bible says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Then he says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Father, we are praying in this place tonight. We lay down our pride. We lay down our ambitions. We lay down our reputations for your glory. We lay down our personal desires, O God. Every weight that besets us, we lay it down. We desire to see you glorified in this church. We desire to see you glorified in Enugu State. Father, no matter what you are doing in Africa, don't leave us behind. May we be part of your program. As you are raising generals, oh God, do not leave Enugu out. As you are raising mighty revivalists, do not leave this state out.
There's gonna be a great awakening.
It's my prophecy to this state.
There's gonna be a great revival in your land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, they will be saved.
That people will begin to get born again in the market. They will get born again in the banks. They will get born again in schools. The fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to fall upon your streets. The fire of revival will begin to fall in small groups. Prayer warriors will begin to arise. Little groups will begin to arise. Men and women of fire, women who are like Deborah, will begin to arise in this city. Women of fire who understand the ordinances of the Spirit.
Judah, Agune Chimba.